All right, we're doing this thing.
Tapis and Skulls.
Tapis and Skulls. Tap and Skull.
See.
Aye.
That's just our way of saying hello to everybody out there in some other country.
Yeah.
How are you?
Jeez, we got to respect the global listener base, people.
I never said we were good at it, but we do want to respect you by that horrible, disrespectful intro.
That's right. I mean, I think that was so inspecific to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a little bit of Spanish I threw in there.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. I used up about 80% of my Spanish vocabulary with that C.
I think I was just doing like the Tatanka,
yes.
WWE war cry.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Sorry, Tatanka, specifically.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
He actually shows up every now and then
no
and wrestles.
Shit. Wow.
He still dresses. He's actually a big dude.
And the Undertaker still wrestles somehow, so.
Yeah, drugs.
Is that, you think?
I hope. I don't. Otherwise, some supernatural stuff actually going on.
Actual Undertaker. He's from Death Valley, dude.
Whoa. Only thing scarier is like truth or consequences. I love a good hometown name, you know. I'm a sucker for that. Alrighty, Max. Did you end the last one or did I? Who gives
we played
a
rock,
shit?
Paper, scissors, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just go because
please.
Whatever. This movie's from 1975.
Hmm.
And some people love it. Some people don't get it.
Okay.
It's Rollerball.
James Caan, huh?
James Caan. I watched this April 10th. 2 hours, 5 minutes.
Holy shit, is that true?
Yes.
Wow. It's been a minute since I watched it. I have it on DVD. I'll have to give it another
watch. And that's why I watched it. It had been so long since I'd seen it. I go, I'm pretty sure I liked it. Let me re-watch this.
I remember the opening scene to it very vividly.
Yes. Action, sci-fi, sport.
Sure, absolutely.
Why not throw sport in there?
Yeah, Running Man can have that too, right?
It technically can.
Yeah.
Right? Directed by Norman Jewison.
Okay.
He's more known for producing as well. He directed, though, Fiddler on the Roof and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes, I thought I knew the name.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty cool, because this is very different from that.
Yes.
So good on you. James Caan, John Houseman, and Maude Adams.
John Houseman, yes.
Yeah. In a corporate-controlled future, an ultra-violent sport known as Rollerball represents the world.
Sure.
And one of its powerful athletes is about to defy those who want him out of the game. The game.
The roller. I mean, why is roller so futuristic, do you think? Like, why were skates the wave of the future?
It's really funny. I know it's 1975, but like nothing about this roller derby game they did seemed super futuristic.
No, not even a slight bit.
It just seemed like a super violent game of roller derby.
Yep.
Where you're allowed to murder people.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of it's like, all right, we're tired of like nuking everybody and world wars, and we're just going to settle everything with rollerball.
Yeah. It's like, do you ever see Robot Jocks?
Yes.
It's like Robot Jocks, where it's like, we have our, each country has our robot.
We fight our giant mech, and whoever
if there's
wins
a conflict, then we have a mech off, and whoever wins the mech off is
my favorite Star Trek
the victor. It's mech off?
Mech off.
Ouch. Now we're offending a global audience base.
Nerds. Get over yourselves. Mech off rules. Mech off for life. Yeah, I threw up a gang sign.
There's another t-shirt.
Mech off for life.
Mech off for life.
That's going to be a really terrible one to design. All right. But yes, I hadn't seen this in a while. I don't know. It's so long. Like, I don't know that I ever finished this initially. It's just like part of pop culture and you just know it kind
of
thing.
Absolutely.
I will say James Caan is so good in this movie.
James Caan's great.
A younger James Caan, because like I just know him for what he's doing now, and he's kind of like a completely different actor now. He's more like this grizzled veteran kind of character in damn near everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bigger now than he was then. He was in good shape for this movie.
Yes.
It's a deep movie. It's hidden with like weird exploitative kind of sport movie. Like it's just weird. It's a weird kind of thing. It drags a little in the second half, I will say, but it finishes very strong. And the character of Moon Pie is the most lovable character.
Moon Pie.
His name is Moon Pie. I love it. He's got sexy wavy hair.
Sure.
And a sexy mustache that it predates its time. It's totally an 80s mustache, but he was rocking it early.
Yep.
And I don't know, I just kind of like the arrogance of it, because they're the American team, I think they're based in like Texas or something, and mm-hmm. they're like, well, we're gonna fight Japan. It's like, oh man, Japan's pretty tough. And they're like, they're just ninjas and other racial horrible thing they say.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow. It's like, and they actually, I mean, you know what they're building to. They're telling you the end of this movie will be fighting Japan.
Yep.
And it's all their build up and their matches. And you're like, wow, they're pretty good. Nobody's really getting hurt. And then you get there to the end and it's just violence, mega violence. And it's just really well done storytelling.
Agreed.
IMDb will give it a 6.6.
Okay.
Not bad for them.
No.
Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 68%.
Okay.
Out of 31 critics. 62% for the audience.
That's right.
12,000 people. I gave it a 6. We were all right in line.
There. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair estimation.
You should find this between a 6 and a 7, depending on how much you love the idea of Rollerball. Don't watch the remake, although I've been kind of teasing the idea of watching the remake, just because Paul Heyman's in it, and I love me Paul Heyman.
Sure.
I am a Paul Heyman guy. But yeah, no, don't do it. So Max, where are you taking us from
So, you know, like sometimes you don't feel well and you like go to the bathroom. I'm talking number two.
Sure.
And you just know, what happened. And you know the extent of the cleanup that's going to come.
Butt inside of butts.
Like, it's just, everything's covered in poo. Like a layer of yellow bile poo.
Wow.
And that is a good description of this film called The Corpse Grinders.
Oh, man.
It's from 1971, and I watched it this year, sadly. It is horror exploitation, and I also labeled it a schlock.
Okay.
The director is Ted V. Mickles. Mickles? I'm going to go with Mickles.
Sure.
Starring Monica Kelly and Sean Kelly. The summary is, a doctor and a nurse find the sinister connection between fuzzy house cats and ground cat food made from cadavers.
Oh my God.
So the movie is about a failing cat food company who decide to save money and put corpses into the cat food mix, and the cats eat the cat food, and therefore they gain a hunger for human flesh.
I love it.
It's a great concept, legitimately, and that's why I was looking over movies to pick up. I picked this up at HorrorCon.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, sounds like a good movie. I know that this dude has some repute, and it came out in 71. Like, this is pre-80s nonsense. Like,
right.
This was shot on film. This was a movie he intended to make into a film. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's really, really low budgety. They had access, much like when you were talking about not many sets, they had access to about two of them.
Mm.
And one of them isn't even passable for a like working warehouse.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Bad. The acting is bad. The characters aren't likable. The nurse and the doctor are not even believable slightly.
Are the cats likable?
No, not really. Any kind of cat violence, they like kind of move the camera around and just like the cat, like you see a cat jump and you see the cat, like a person go, oh no. And there's cuts like on their chest. It's like nothing to write home about at all. There are two sequels to this film.
What?
Yep. And the best part of this, if you were to seek it out and for some reason on physical, if you want to ask me to borrow it, I'll lend it to you. And the best special feature is watching the interview with Ted Mickles, who's a really down-to-earth dude. Like, really cool, explained exactly what he wanted to go in and make the movie, the reasons why. And he actually had, like, a purpose and the statement behind the way things were being created, consumer products were being made. Like, there's actual thought and artistic integrity behind this film.
Nice.
So it made me respect it a little bit more after I watched the special features. But the movie itself is like having to reach for toilet paper and know what you're going to kind of blindly move your hand in towards after you were sick on the bathroom.
It's not
in
enough.
The bathroom. No.
It's never enough.
Nope. So IMDb score on this one. You want to take a stab at it?
Oh man, they like bad things. Like a 5?
3.8.
All right.
Rotten Tomatoes critic score. Take a stab at this one.
12?
It's not as bad as your 7.
Oh.
7.
Oh.
6 reviews on that one. And the audience score was a 26.
Huh.
I was in between all of them, kind of a little under the IMDb, a little above the audience. I was a 3.5 out of 10. And I'd say probably 1.5 of that comes after I watched the special features.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if that was true.
It is.
Special features can change your opinion.
It's just seeing what he, like the amount of thought that went in and what he had to go through to make it. And like, I mean, it put a little bit more respect into it. I mean, it nearly doubled the score of the movie, but it is hard to watch.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. It happens. Well, my next movie is not amazing either.
Is that supposed to make us feel better?
I just it feel makes, like...
Now we just all feel worse.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Are you just back there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's The Highwaymen.
Hmm.
This is a Netflix movie. Came out this year.
Okay.
I watched it on April 11th.
Okay.
It's 2 hours and 12 minutes.
It's a little bit of a long one.
It is a biography crime drama.
Okay.
It stars Kevin Costner.
Whoa.
Woody Harrelson.
Whoa, okay.
and Kathy Bates.
No kidding.
A pair of Texas Rangers come out of retirement to catch the infamous outlaws, Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
This apparently is the more or less the real end to the Bonnie and Clyde, you know, massacre.
Yeah, it's not Warren Bates getting shot up a bajillion times.
Yes.
Okay.
Highwaymen are basically like bounty hunters mm-hmm. kind of characters. The movie is way too long. It's just so damn long. And artsy and just not necessary. Kevin Costner is your main guy. Woody Harrelson's kind of like the guy nobody wants to go to, who's the other highwayman.
Yeah.
He's just like, are you sober? Can you drive? Like, can I trust you? I think, and Kathy Bates plays the mayor of the town, who's like, can you just go get these people and bring them back for trial or whatever, or kill, I don't care, but do it within the law. And they're like, we're highwaymen. We do what we gots to do.
Gotcha.
And Kevin Costner's kind of like the straight man of the group, and he's like, well, if we're gonna catch him, we're going to go do it outside. We're going to have to go to other places. We're going to box them in.
Yeah.
Whenever they actually interact with Bonnie and Clyde, it's fun.
Okay.
But when they're like staking out Bonnie's mom's house and you realize, oh, we're a little too old for this shit.
Yep.
And then like, oh, let's is that kid? That kid's suspicious. Let's chase him. Oh, I can't chase a kid. I'm too old.
Lethal Weapon 4.
It's very much that.
Okay.
But like, you know, not fun. And Jet Li doesn't show
up. Yeah. Well, I love Lethal Weapon 4.
As you should. Pacing issues. My God. It's just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think Woody Harrelson's good. I think Kevin Costner, I think they're good.
Sure.
I think the movie is just way too damn long. And it seemed accurate to the story as best I know. I don't know a ton about how that ended up.
Mm-hmm.
But they do show you a lot of cool pictures during the credits of like the actual people and some of the like newspaper clippings. And I'm like, why am I excited to watch this after sitting through this long ass movie?
Mm-hmm.
My wife didn't care for the movie either. I watched it with her.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine. We're like, right. Oh, they did a good job making a thing I don't ever want to watch again.
Fair enough.
So, now here's the fun part. I tell you the scores.
Please.
IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
7.0.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critic score, 57.
Okay.
Out of 129, which, like I said, it's a newer movie, so this may have shifted slightly
right.
in direction. Audience score, 75% out of 990 people. I give it a 4.
Yep.
I don't ever want to watch this again. I don't ever want it to be on TV. And I'm like, oh, Kevin Costner, he's good in a few things. Hey, wait a minute. Not again. Not again. Not again. At the end of the day, name 3 Kevin Costner movies and 3 Woody Harrelson movies, and they're all better than this. I'm sure of it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sure of it.
Well, I was going to name it Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which I'm is that better?
Yes.
I mean, Alan Rickman's great.
Yeah. Well, you have Alan Rickman.
But then, unfortunately, you have the wacky Bryan Adams score.
I was ready to sing it, and I just started dying. Hey, man, that song was a massive hit.
It was a massive hit.
90?
It didn't make a fucking lick of sense in the movie, but sure.
Movies aren't about making sense.
I guess not.
They're about making dollars and cents.
Damn, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And somehow Bryan Adams got all of it.
He did. Damn Bryan Adams.
Damn you, Bryan Adams. If you're listening, hi, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, it's the summer of 69.
It is all over again.
Me and my girl, 69.
Whew, yeah?
That's what he said the song's about.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
Because he was like 9 years old or something in the summer at the summer of 69. So it's not about him at all. It's just he said it was a clever, you know.
Oh.
Puts finger in other hand, which is making a hole.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sexy time.
Me and my girl, sexy time.
Me and my girl, sexy time.
So I don't have a sexy time, but I have a good time, Tim.
You got a good time.
Great time with this movie.
Good times.
2016's Train to Busan.
Now, I've heard of this, and I'm very jealous you watched it, because I don't know, I need to watch it. It's been on my to-do list for so long.
So this time, this particular viewing of it, I got the movie on Steelbook.
Thanks, Shout Factory.
It wasn't Shout Factory.
Thanks, anyways.
Thanks, Steelbook, for making great packaging for fucking DVDs and collectibles, and fuck you for taking all my money.
Steel.
This movie is excellent. It's the second time I've watched it. I watched it this year at some point. It is 1 hour and 58 minutes for a horror movie.
Huh.
Yeah. It is directed by Yun Sang Ho, and it stars Ma Dong Seok and Jung Yu Mi. The summary is: a man and his estranged daughter become trapped on a speeding train during a zombie outbreak in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was handed this movie the first time to watch it, shout out to Daryl, who gave me the Blu-ray to watch. And he was like, here. And I was like, isn't this a fucking zombie movie? And he's just like, watch it. At the end of this movie, at the end of 1 hour and 58 minutes, I was in fucking tears from this movie.
Thank you, Daryl.
Yeah. This movie is so good. It is painful in all the right ways. It is dramatic. It is gory. It is visually stunning at points. And it just completely tears your guts out along with all the people who are getting their guts torn out. It's, nice. I mean, I cannot say enough good things about this movie. Tim has us write down any bullet points. My bullet points in very large obnoxious caps are OMG exclamation point. This movie rules with a Z at the end of rules exclamation point. Because it fucking does. I would have never guessed that a zombie movie could come out. I saw this early 2018 or late 2018, early 2019 the first time. I would have never believed I could watch a zombie movie I would give a shit about again, because we've just gotten them ad nauseum.
Sure.
And this zombie movie just completely owned. It's terrific.
That's awesome.
IMDb, 7.5 out of 10. So not bad for them.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 94 with 103 reviews.
Nice.
Audience is an 88. And I gave this a 9, a Manborg out of 10.
Whoa, 9 Manborgs out of 10?
9 Manborgs out of 10 Borgs.
Wow.
Yeah, it is exceptional. And if you have not watched Train to Busan, you should, because you are missing out. It's excellent.
I do believe it's on Netflix currently.
Please watch it.
So after you watch Manborg like 3 more times.
Manborg. I'll watch Manborg if you watch Train to Busan.
Deal.
We'll trade 9s.
We could trade 9s.
Trade 9s.
I love it. Trade your 9s.
Trade your 9s. Your friends. Now get the fuck out and watch Train to Busan and Manborg.
Nope.